Good morning, Rabotai. It has been suggested that as we approach the season of apple and honey, I might do a sequel to my previous shiur on Ma'at Davash and Kasas and the honeybee, which I'm not going to do this morning, but I would like just to share with you one little ha'ara, as I say, as we approach the time of dipping into the honey. And you'll recall the remarkable thing about honey is that normally hayotzim in our tomei, and the extraordinary thing here is that miyutein toha mitomei, they hear you've got toha coming from tomei, and it's the ultimate most worst trefa source they could possibly be, as the Gemara says, ochal tira luka sheish, that there are six larvim for eating a flying insect. So if it were you to eat the wasp, you'd go to six larvim, and here it's miyutein toha mitomei. And we said as a machoikis why that is so, whether it's because it's machnisos the gufon of the imamatzis miyadim, or whether it's a gezeiros hakofer. We spoke a little bit with Derech Drush at the end of the shiur why try and give some sort of hezber why there should be such a gezeiros hakofer. Anyway, it just occurs to me that in the theme of these days of Yom Neroim, where the Gemara says Chazal say gedola tshuva shezadonos nasis lo kishgodos zadonos nasis lo kizuchuyos, that you here you have the meha'az yotza motzik, that the sweet thing coming from the others, from the others ponim of the averos, this can be transformed through tshuvah me'av or even into zechuyos. So maybe the eating of honey on Rosh Hashanah represents that tohar mitome, and therefore it's merumas to the koach hatshuvah. It comes from the worst tome source, and yet out of it comes the mosaic, comes the Torah. Okay, so that's the kashrus bit. But one of my sidelines is to act as Baal Tekeah on Rosh Hashanah. I want to share with you a very interesting halacha, which I think represents a fundamental yisoid in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, Seder hatukiyos shalosh shal shalosh shalosh. There's three sets of three. What's a set of three? Tekiyah, Trua, Tekiyah. Where do we learn this from? We learn this from the fact that we have three pesukim which mention the Indian of Trua. We have Bachodesh Hashvi by Rosh Hashanah and Parashat Ema, Bachodesh Hashvi, Be'echol Lachodesh, Yi'alachem Shabbosoin, Zichroin Trua, Likro Kodesh. So there's a Trua on Rosh Hashanah. Another pasuk in Pimchas, Bachodesh Hashvi, Be'echol Lachodesh, Yoyim Trua, Yi'alachem. And we have another pasuk, it's actually about Yovel, but the Gemara says we all the tkiyos of the Chodesh HaShvi are compared one to another. So Avarta Shofa Trua. From here we learn there has to be three truas. Three truas. How do we know that each trua has to be preceded by a tkiyah and followed by a tkiyah? Because the pasuk says the Havarta Shofa Trua, there has to be a Ha'avara of the sound of the Shofa first, and you sound the Trua, and then there's Taviru Shofa comes at the end of the pasuk. So there's a havara afterwards, so every one of the three soundings of the trua has to be preceded by a tekiyah. Question is, how do we get from this very nice, easy set of nine kolos, which every Baal Tekeah would love to get away with without any difficulty, how do we get to the 30 tekiyos, which one is chayav me'ikah hadin on Rosh Hashanah? And there we find, in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, that the Gemara says, it says in the Mishnah, Shir Teruah Kegimel Yivavos, the Shir of a Teruah is three short notes. V'hatanya Shir Teruah Kishlusha Shivarim, but the Brisa says it's three long notes, Shlusha Shivarim. Amar Abaya Behov Vaday Pligi. This is certainly a machlokes. Dichtiv Yom Teruah Yiyalachem, Umetargaminom Yom Yivavo Yahilachim. The Targum of this Yom Teruah is Yom Yivavo. What does the word Yevava mean? They go to quite a distant source. There we have the word Yevava batayabeiv, and the mother of Sisra wept. So we know that the word Yevava, Yom Yevava, it's a day of blowing the shofar, but it's a day of weeping. Sounds like weeping. Marasova gnuche gomach, um marasova yulule yolui. And there's a machlik is what this weeping sound should be. The one who says it's a shivorim says it's a groaning note, and the one who says it's a yalala says it is a weeping note. So the sound of the shivorim represents the oi, oi, oi of a groaning person, and the sound of the tekiah is it's a crying note. And the Gemara said quite clearly, "V'hovadai pligi," this is certainly a machlokis. Further on, there's a very famous piece of Gemara at the end of this slightly complex sugya. Iskin Rabba Vohu v'Kisri, Rabba Vohu was mesakein in Kisri that one should blow. Sezeria possibly tekiah shlusha shvarim truah tekiah. Although we said that some had a minhag to blow a shvarim, some had a minhag to blow a tekiah, but one should blow a shvarim truah tekiah. Monavshach says the Gemara, where are you coming from here? Iyulul yalil liyavit tekiah truah tekiah. If it's the weeping note, do a tekiah truah tekiah. And if it's the sighing note, liyavit tekiah shlusha shvarim tekiah, then you should do the shlusha shvarim in the middle. Answers the Gemara, mesapkele. It's a sophic, whether it's one or the other. Oh, if it's a sophic, so do the two of them. You don't need to do the shlusha shvarim and the truah. You don't need to do a shlusha, you don't need to do a shvarim truah. So it says masapkele idil maganach v'yolil. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's the full scale of the weeping. First you groan when you hear the bad news and you exclaim, and then you break down in weeping. Shvarim truah. Maybe it should be the other way around. The Ovid Nabi Ipcha. So the Gemara says, Ipcha, the other way around, people don't cry like that. First they hear, oh, okay. And then they cry. So that's the order. There is a very interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch. First of all, you find that this expression of the halachas is echoed precisely in the Mechaba. True azu hamura batera nistapek lanu. We are unsure, it's a sophic, whether this true are mentioned in the Torah in hi hayalava, whether it's the wailing, the crying, shanukurin true, which we call a true, o im hi ma'ashe onukurin shvarim, or is it that which we call a shvarim, o im hein shneim biyachad, or whether it's the two together, lafichach, kite lot seis yedei sophic, in order to be yotze the sophic, we do all three of them, and all three times, because we know it's seidish or sholish, has to be done three times. And that's where we get our 27 notes, or termed usually our 30 notes, because throwing through or makes it a set, effectively not a 9 but a bit of 12. Then the Machaber goes on and he says, Yesh Oimrim, Sheshir Tekia Kitruah, Sheshir Truah Kishlusha Yivogos. Some say, everybody says, in fact, Mishabura points out, that the Sheshir Tekia is Kitruah. One of the slightly complex things about being about to care is the Tekia has to be as long as the Truah. That's why we have very long tekiahs in the Shvarim Truah Seder, because they have to be as long as 18 short notes. 9 short notes for the Shvarim, 9 short notes for the Truah, 18 notes for the tekiah before and after the Shvarim Truah. So we hold that a Shir tekiah is Ketruah. And Shir Truah, what is the Shir of a Truah, first of all, in the Seder of tekiah, Truah, tekiah? Kishalosha Yavavos. Like 3 short notes. Says the Machaber, the Haimu Gimel Koches Ba'Olma Kol Shehu, 3 little sounds. The Haimu Nikroim Trumitim, that's what we call little trumpet sounds. Do do do, is the shear of a Teruah, according to the Machaber, paskening like Rashi. Rashi says it's not 9 short notes like we do; it's 3 short notes. And that interestingly, when the Mishavura says is Meika Hadin, we paskin like that. The Eved, we're Machmer to be yotze to the other shittas is 9 short notes. Kos Machrein the Nochrein Lasis Kein Lachatchila, 9 short notes. But the Eved Gimel Kuches Kadeir Rishona. The Eved you go to a Truah with only 3 short notes. Now the Machaber says something very interesting. He says Lafiza Tarech Lizoher Shlo Yarech B'Sheva Kishlosha Krumitim. And then if so, you've got to be very careful that when you blow the Shvarim, which is do, 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 3 longer sounds, you've got to take care that each one of those long sounds is not as long as 3 short notes. Because a straight note as long as 3 short notes is the length of a tekiah. Right? The length of a tekiah is the same as a truah. And when you blow a tekiah, truah, tekiah, your truah in the middle is 3 short sounds. So the length of your tekiah is 3 short sounds. All you have to do when you're doing a tekiah, Truah Tekiah is simply do, 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 do. That is the length of a Tekiah. So what Shoko would be really. That's the length of a Tekiah. So therefore, when you blow the Tekiah Shvarim Seder, and you're doing three short sounds as a shvarim, you've got to make sure that each shever is no longer than 2.5 in length. Because if it's as long as 3, it becomes a trua. There it is no longer a shever of one of the three parts of the shvarim, but it becomes a tekiya. And you can't blow a tekiya in the middle of the seder. On the occasions when the Baal Zekeh, we hope it doesn't happen this year, saying not to me, not to anybody else, the Baal Zekeh has to go back and start blowing again, that's because he's made a sound which is like the sounds of one of the other notes. You cannot have a tekiya interrupting in the middle of the shvarim. So therefore you've got to be very careful, quite tricky, to make sure that tekiya is not, that the Ramah disagrees, fortunately he's not mukbid about it, but I'll point that's what Machaber says. And the Ramah already, the Mishnah Berurah already points out this doesn't really make any sense. Because the whole point is, this is a sofek. If when we blow one set of 9, we're taking on the note in the middle is a trua, so the tekiya is very, according to Rashi, it's only 3 short notes, so the tekiya is very short. But when we blow the shvarim, and then we're forgetting everything we've blown till now. We're thinking, oh, that's probably all wrong. It's not a topic. And maybe you weren't used to that. So we'll do it again according to the other day. And according to the other day, the shvarim is the middle note is a shvarim note. And therefore the tekiya has to be as long as that. So it's much longer. So why on earth does the Machaber say you have to be careful in one seder that you don't do notes that sound like notes from the other seder? One seder has nothing to do with the other seder. Just something. Either it's like this, either it's like that, either it's like the other. And we do all three to take care. Here it seems that the Machaber actually is holding like a very, very interesting shita brought in the Rosh at the end of the Rosh, Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon is brought in the Chuvas HaGoyim, I think others say it as well. And he says that even though it says all over the place sofik, 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 it doesn't really mean it's a sofik. Pligi doesn't really mean it's a machlokes. Kosev Rav Haigon b'tshuva, al tachshuvu. Don't think that all of a sudden in the days of Rav Avohu suddenly there was a sofik whether it should be like this, whether it should be like that, because already Mishnayos Kedumos Achas Emeres Shalish Shavovos Achas Emeres Shalish Shavarim, long before Rav Avohu there were these two different shittas in the Mishnah in the Tosefta, and Ka'oma Oviv Baha Peligi V'Kachayad Hadova B'Mei Kadmonim Minag V'Chol Yisrael. The truth is that it was always an ancient minhag. Mehem Oisim Trua Yavovos Kalis. Some used to do short weeping sounds and some used to do long weeping sounds, and both of them were yotzim. Both of them are trua. However, it looked like a machlokes when everybody, different kehillahs, used to blow different notes, and therefore I haven't got time to go through all of it word for word. Become Abaya Bahop Ligi, and even though Abaya says Bahop Ligi, this is a Bob Babai Pligi actually, he says. Bob Babai Pligi is Machlokes. Love Pelukta he, Sheyehe Matim Elu Es Elu. It's not a normal sense of Pelukta that they're arguing one with another, and this one says that one has it wrong. Ela Maki Asrei, or Maki Asrei, but they had a different minhagim in their different towns. Bachachomim Shel Elu Moidim, Shel Halolu Moidim Heim, Kishvorim Trua Heim. Each one is moida that you can blow it the other way as well. So what did Rav Avohu want? Because Rav Avohu ro'o l'saking takono shehei kol Yisrael oisim maise echod. He wanted that all of Kol Yisrael should follow one minhag, and therefore he knew that if he said you've got to do it like this, the others would be very upset. They're not dropping their minhag, and if he said you've got to do it like that, they're not going to start changing their minhag. So he said, you know what, we'll all blow all three minhagim, so that Klal Yisrael should have Oisin Maisa Echot, the Lo Yehi Benehim Dova Shal Hegiot is near a Kachaluka. There shouldn't be something which looks like it's a Machlokes. My question is, there are many, many different mitzvahs where we find different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. Mehem Oisin Azoy, Mehem Oisin Azoy, and you don't find that we have a takono that you've got to unify the minhag that everybody should do the same thing. We know throughout every aspect virtually of our lives, you have Minogim, Ashkenazim, and Sfarzim. Some do Hagbah at the beginning, some do Hagbah at the end, some shake the Lulav like this, some shake the Lulav like that. You don't find that anybody came along with Mustakeid, we've got to do it the same. Some wear this kind of tefillin, they strap them this way around the arm, that way around the arm, everything, almost every mitzvah, you'll find different Minogim of doing it. There is, interestingly, one case, tefillin on Chol HaMoed, where it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, we don't seem to be too good at keeping this halacha nowadays, Tfilin and Chol HaMoed, one shul should follow the same minhag, otherwise there's an issue or an isur of losis gozadu, losasu agudas agudas, you shouldn't have different minhagim in the same shul. The shul should all follow one minhag. However, in different shul, different towns, Malki Azrei, Malki Azrei, this is the minhag of this town, this is the minhag of that town. If everybody goes to, why did Rav Avohu have to come along and interfere and say, you've got to do it like this? The Orach HaShulchan, somewhat cryptically, seems to come along and explain, bring up seven, okay, that since it's a minhag where all of Klal Yisrael what's his lashon? Lenoa lefanenu mitzvah kavua ledoiros, a mitzvah which is kavua ledoiros she'elu yasukach ve'elu yasukach. I mean, those mitzvahs are kavua ledoiros. There's very few of them which are only temporary. Such an important mitzvah. It's not noyel afaneinu, but interesting, he says in bracket, ubilvad yesh bezeh inyan godl. Ubilvad zeh, and apart from this, there's a very big inyan here. Close brackets, cryptic comment, and he doesn't tell us what the big inyan is. And I'd like to suggest briefly what the big inyan, the inyan godl. There's a famous shmuz in Rebellia. Rebellia Lofin to Chaim Levracha, to the outside, interestingly, Agav is tomorrow. And he brings the pasuk, Asur Tomim Pa'olo Kikol Derachov Mishpot, Kel Amuno Vein Ovel Tadik V'Yoshevu. HaKosh Baruch Hu, the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are just, he's a God of faithfulness, there's no iniquity with him, he's righteous, and he is upright. And he asks the Kasha, what's the expression, Vein Ovel, there's no iniquity, there's no sin. He says, if somebody asks you a question about the shidduch, can you tell me about this young man? And you say, well, he's not violent, and he doesn't steal, and he doesn't lie. Ain't novel. So that is not a very fulsome praise. And here, in the context of the very fulsome praise we're giving to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, it makes no sense. How can you say, ain't novel? He's tzaddik, he's yoshe, he's tomim pa'olo, kol derachov mishpot, everything he does is just, ain't novel. So it explains very beautifully that in an earthly court, however perfect the judgment, there is inevitably some injustice. If you have somebody who Khalila commits some sort of crime, he does some massive swindle, and the court judges perfectly, there's nothing wrong with the judgment whatsoever, and they decide they're going to put him away for 10 years, they cannot take into account, and he's completely deserved of it, they cannot take into account that his wife Nebuch is going to have to live like an almona for 10 years, and she doesn't deserve it. And the children, what have they done wrong? Why should they be without a father to be brought up all these years on their own? And all his friends who used to enjoy his company so much, why should they be left? And the person who used to give a favor to, used to give him a lift every morning to work, what's he going to do for his lift? All these other different cheshbonos, the earthly court, can't take them into account. But the Ribono Shel Olam, in the heavenly court, kol derachov mishpot. Everything he does is just. Ein ovel, tzadik v'yosha. He's completely perfect, and ein ovel. There's no slight injustice in it whatsoever. And he says, for example, if he's a rich person and he supports aniyim with his tzedakah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu really should be going according to his own ma'asim, that his business is going to fail, whatever it might be, so he needs to suffer, and it's correct and just, but why should the aniyim suffer? What did they do wrong? This is the pshat in Ein Ovel. Says the Gemara, Rebellia brings the Gemara, brings the Mishnah. And Rosh Hashanah kol rei olam ozen lefonov kivnei moroin. Everybody goes before a Kosh Baruch kivnei moroin. So the Machlokes in the Gemara what kivnei moroin is. Kivnei imrono, like a flock of sheep, is the traditional understanding. Kamal is beishot moroin, like the very narrow place where people had to squeeze through, famous Gemara in Erevin, but we won't. We won't go over there this morning. Kachayolos shel Beis David, like those soldiers of Beis David lining up in a line to be counted or to be assessed one by one. Says the Gemara, Omer Rava bar Bachana, Omer Yochanan, the Kulon Niskorin, the Skira Achas. And they are all looked at in one glance. So they go through one by one, but they're all looked at in one glance. What does it mean they're all looked at together? We just said the whole point is three different pshatim. Kivnei Moroin, they're all looked at singly, one by one. Everybody judged on his deeds. Says Rebellia, first of all, everybody is judged individually. What is the judgment? How should the judgment come out for you, for him, his deeds? But then he's looked at also integrally as a part of the whole. Because Baruch Hu looks at who else will be affected if we give this man his just deserve. His wife will be affected, his children will be affected, his friends will be affected, his companions, his associates, they don't deserve it. So therefore he can be saved in the zechus of the friends and the family and all the connections which he has. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Omer Nachum by Yitzchok, Afanam Nami Tanina. We've also learned this, says Omer Nachum by Yitzchok. Shene Emma, Hayotze Yachad Libom, Hamezin Al Kol Maaseihem. The Mishnah brings the Pasuk, Hayotze Yachad Libom, Hamezin Al Kol Maaseihem, because Baruch Hu created their hearts all together, he understands all their deeds, Maika Oma, Ileva Hochikama, Ela Hochikama. Hayotze, the Creator, Roye Yachad Libom, or Maven Al Kol Maaseihem. He sees their heart all together, he looks at their hearts all together. There's a Gevaldige Marashot here, who asks, Lachira, a bomba kasha. The Mishnah actually says, I brought the Mishnah with me, the Mishnah actually says, Rosh Hashanah Kobay Olam Ovrim Lefonok his name alone, Shenema Hayotu Yachalibom Hamezin El Kol Maaseihem. What's the Shenema? The Shenema is teaching exactly the opposite. First of all, the Gemara says, the halacha is, or the understanding is that everybody goes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu individually Kivnei Moron. Everybody says that's the Peshat. Kivnei Amarno, whatever it is, one by one. And then, and also, Kulon Niskorim Beskira Achas, as Rebellion put it. Also, a second judgment is how he fits in integrally with the community, with the friends, with everybody else. But it's not, it's completely different things. What's the Shenema? Kumt the Maharshon is the Gevaldig Achidish, if I understand correctly, the Gevaldig Achidish. And he says, the Peshat in the Mishnah Kivnei Moroin is not the traditional Peshat as you think. They go through one by one. It's that normally when you look at a flock of sheep, you can't see all the sheep individually. You can't see all the sheep because they're all in a big flock, they're all bunched together. You can't see how many, that little group over there, is that three, is that six, is that two? You can't see the sheep individually. And when they're all strung out in a long line, any of these different Peshatim, they're climbing through the narrow straits in the Malis of Beis Moron, or they're lined up like the soldiers, when they're all strung out in a line, then Beskira Achas, you can see them all. Then you can see them all. Dov Gufa is what the Mishnah is teaching. Not like we had it in the Nuntan of Tokef, the judging one by one. The Mishnah is actually teaching for Kev, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us all together. The Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bo Yehilam, Ovrim Lefonov, together, Kivnei Moron, he sees them Beskira Achas, and he doesn't actually send the Gemara, Amar Abacham, Rabbi Yuchnon, the Kulon is Korin Beskir. Don't say Afalpi. Don't say, and apart from the fact they judge singly, they are also judged separately. The Kulon is Korin Beskir jointly. The Kulon is Korin Beskir Achas. So he says the Pshat is, that is exactly the Pshat in the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah is teaching. That on Rosh Hashanah, everybody is judged together. They're all judged, they all come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a line, so that he can see everybody at once, he can see the whole full stage. Shenama. Hayotze Roya Yachad Libom. He judges them all together. That is the Ikka judgment on Rosh Hashanah, all of Kali Yisrael together. And if so, we can understand very well Rav Haigon. That's why Rav Haigon came along and said the Pshat is not. There's a Machlokes. Pshat is that it's a crying note, and everybody agrees it's a crying note, and there are different ways of representing a crying note. However, on Rosh Hashanah, we all cry together. We all blow the tekiyas the same way. Ulvad v'zeh yesh v'zeh inyan gadol. The inyan gadol on Rosh Hashanah is that there has to be achdus of all of Klal Yisrael together. It cannot be from the greatest point of the day, the point where Kol Baruch Hu moves from the Kitei Adin to Kitei Rachamim, that mitzvah hayom v'sheifa, and we're going to do it in different minhagim. Some do it like this, some do it like that. That is not the way to crown the Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Elia brings very beautifully that this therefore is a special segula to be zeicher badin on Rosh Hashanah. If you can't be zeicher badin with your own ma'asim, you can be zeicher badin through being part of the cloud, through being part of the killer. And that's why we say, he says in the Orchat Chaim Laharosh, which those who learned in Gated will remember very vividly, the Moshe Shlag Zichron Livracha, how he used to sing out Orchat Chaim Laharosh, which I think in Kelma used to do every single day, the minute to do it, at least in Elul, and he used to sing out, Havi Marbe Bo'yavim. Right? You've got to have as many friends as possible. And even one sone is too many. Why? Because this is a gewaltiger segula to be zeicher badin. In a very similar vein, Thorin brings that in Kelm there used to be a yellowed notice, an old yellowed notice, which he used to put in the door, on the door of the Talmud Torah in Kelm every Elul, with the writings of the altar from Kelm, and it used to say Ha'ara no Ra, a gewaldiger Ha'ara. And in this Ha'ara basically was that Ki Ikka Shetam Lichuni Aleichem Hainu Achtus Avodav Yisborach. The main Indian of Shetam Lichuni is that everybody should be Ba'achtus. The king cannot be king unless all the people are together, united. As the apostle says, by Hivishuran Melech, Amosai, when you say a Melech, his man, Yachad, Shifte Yisrael. When the Klal Yisrael is together, Ba'achtus, then the Kosh Baruch Hu can be a Melech. Alkin Chivo Aleinu, said the Balta, Kedim Yem Adin, the Kabbal Al Atzmeinu, Mitzvus, Asei, the Havta Lerecho Kamoicha. In the days of Elo, we have to be in the Kabbal upon ourselves, the Havta Lerecho Kamoicha. It's interesting just to share as well, looking around to see how the literature Musa from Kelm and the Velia and the Chassidische Torah also comes together on this Indian. And I saw a very similar thought brought from Rav Simcha Bunim of Shispa. Everyone should endeavor to be an integral part of the Kehillah, not to stand out. And that's why we don't ask for individual petitions. And that's why all the minhagim of the Shosa have to be the same minhag. Nobody should stand out, no Kehillah should stand out. One Kehillah of Avodim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu together. And then the chus of the tzibor, one could be zeicher badin. And he brings this lovely marshal, if you bring to a money changer one dirty bent coin, you reject it, he's not changing that, he's taking your shmata coin, which is bent and which is broken, which is probably not worth anything. But if the bent coin is comes together with hundreds of other coins, with thousands of other coins, then the chus of all the thousands of other coins to change that coin as well. I want to conclude with a gewaltiger gemeister, which powerfully illustrates the incredible segula of making connections, of helping others, of looking after strangers, which is particularly nogea to yesterday's anniversary. Apparently it's a Bavusta Maisa, and it should be once you hear it, but I haven't heard it before till just now. An American businessman 5 years ago is in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, with a very, very hectic schedule, trying to conduct business and have half a dozen meetings on the same day. He hasn't had a chance to eat all day, he's starving, hungry, the restaurant's across the road. He steps into the restaurant, there's a queue. Not many people, two or three people, okay, he stands in the queue, and they're taking their time, they're serving, would you like it like this, would you like it like that, he's getting restless, looking at his watch, he's looking at the door, should I stay, should I go, what should I do? Got a busy day ahead of him. So he's hopping from one foot to the other foot. As the person in front of him comes to the counter, he turns around to him, this Israeli, and he says to the American, he says, I can see you're anxious, I can see you're in a rush, you go ahead with me, I've got plenty of time, yeah, you go first. Thank you very much, good to see Shikoyach. He goes first, he takes his pizza, he takes it with him, out the shop, cross the road. As he crosses the road, there's the most enormous explosion, and he turns around and the whole restaurant has gone up in a bomb explosion. He's just left the Sabaro restaurant with the last piece of pizza, you might say. He realizes this fellow who did him a favor, his mummy saved his life. He would have been right in the front there. My goodness, what happened to him? He rushes back in to see if he can help this person who just helped him, who just saved his life. And he searches for him, and he finds him there. He's very severely injured. He tries to help him, helps him go into the ambulance. He accompanies him in the ambulance. He goes to the hospital with him. He tries to ensure he gets the best possible care. Until half an hour ago he was a complete stranger, and now he's caring for him, he's looking after him. The children come along, and he says to them, your father just saved my life. My mother, she saved my life. He did me a chesed, and he saved my life. Is there anything I can do for you? Here's my telephone number. Don't hesitate to call. Now 3 weeks later, he's back in America, in New York. He gets a telephone call from these people. Listen, our father, he needs a major operation, and we understand the best place for this operation is in Boston. I don't know whether Boston is far from New York. We don't know how far it's going to be. Can you still help us? He says, ah, it's not so far. Well, like Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. Hey, no, that's further, but don't worry. I'll look after you. Come to America. I'll set up the flight. I'll organize it. You come to me. My cheshbon, I'll look after him. Your father saved my life. I'll try and save his life. I'll look after him. He goes to meet him from the airport. He sets up the appointment. He takes him to the hospital. He arranges the operation. And so it was that this American businessman, on the morning of the operation, was sitting with the family in a hospital in Boston, instead of sitting in his office on the 101st story of the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. If you do a chesed for somebody, and you look out for somebody, and you make a friendship, and you make a connection, you never know how in that zechus of that connection your own life, for example, can be saved. May we all be zeicha through our mighty chesed, through our friendships, through our connections, to a ksivach kimatova, a good gebench to yah, to chaverim kol Yisrael, and to the gula shleimah of Meher Yomeinu.